three people at least.
And so you have committed yourself to Christ and entered into the new covenant. I hope that although we have to hurry so quickly, this helps you to see the picture. Now we come quickly to the summary, and I would like to say one last thing regarding the tapes. In case anybody has any misunderstanding about this, and my witness is of the most important matter to me, because I don't just preach the gospel, I want to preach it also with my life. I want to tell you that any person buying tapes, I want you to let you know that I don't get a single cent out of any tape that you buy. I have no profit out of this thing, not one single cent. So if anyone thinks that I'm making any kind of business out of your buying tapes, you better make it clear right now that I get absolutely nothing out of those tapes. These tapes are made available to you by the faithful service of our brothers in the 4M, who also are doing this as a service to the Lord. They don't make profit. They are not a profit-making organization. So it is merely done for you as a service. I would like you to understand this as part of my witness. I get nothing out of those tapes. Now finally, to the summary. And this we have to do in 2 minutes flat. Is that all possible? First, how is the Lord's army formed? We have been talking about spiritual warfare. We have an army. But you say we have an army. Where is the organization? You see, we think in human terms. We look for an organization. Remember this. The church is not an organization, basically, although it has organization in it. The church is not an organization. It is an organism. Now, any of you who have done biology know what an organism is. That is something that is an organic unity because it's connected with the same life. It is the same life that is operating within the sphere of this organism. The life of Christ operates in all of us, which constitutes us as an army, as a body of Christ, and so as a spiritual army. You and I are already linked in the closest way possible, much closer than any organization could link us together. You see, a country, for example, has one organization, but there is virtually no connection between the citizens of that country, because there is no organic relationship, spiritually speaking, to one another. You are you and I am I. We all have one organization looking over us. We are citizens of a certain country, but there is no organic unity. So we are more closely related to one another than any organization could relate us. Remember that always. Because we belong to one body. We are organically related in life to one another. How much closer can you get than that? You see, a family may not have no formal structure of organization. You don't take any votes. You're not going to vote that your father is going to be head of the family and your brother is going to be the treasurer. Who does things like this? You are organically related to one another because you are members of one family. So therefore, sometimes it may be convenient, say, to have some kind of an organizational structure. But that will be only a matter of convenience. It is not necessary to the unity of the family to have an organization. So it is not necessary to the unity of the body of Christ to have a formal organizational structure. Because we are already so closely related, we can't get any closer than that. You are closer to me and than my own brother and sister in the flesh. And each one of you are closer to each other than your own brother and sister in the flesh. That's the scriptural teaching. Who is my brother and my sister and my mother? But he who does the will of God. That's what the Lord Jesus said. You are closer to Jesus than any physical relationship could make you close to Jesus. If you were the physical brother of Jesus, you would not be closer to Jesus than you are now. Did you ever realize that? So we are closer to one another, brothers and sisters. And I hope when we call each other brothers and sisters, we are not using it as a courtesy title. That we really receive one another as brothers and sisters. Because we are one family, closer to each other than blood relationship could make us. Blood relationship will fall apart. Your brother and your sister or whoever it may be will die one of these days. And the link is cut. But our relationship with each other is spiritual life, so that no death can cut it. We remain forever united in a blood relationship. Among the Chinese, you have blood brothers. Sometimes you cut your arm. You, all of you who have read San Guo Zi Yan Yi, the Three Kingdoms, will know how the Liu Guan Zhang became united to each other by the blood bond. They cut themselves and they put the wound each to the other, as though to suggest an interflow of blood, but of course the blood doesn't flow to each other, as any of you know. But they're symbolically showing that that we are one, that they were one. But we are much closer than that, because it's not just the same blood flowing in each other, it is the same life of Christ flowing in each other. And no death can separate us. Oh, that we may understand, and from this to begin to see the picture, the vision of the great Church of Christ. We have problems in the Church of Christ, sure we have, because there is sin in the Church. Everybody has some sin, no one is utterly perfect. But that is all the more reason why we need to help each other, rather than to disdain each other. No, we need to help each other, so that we understand the unity of the Church of Christ. And truth must be turned into vision. There is literal vision, in which you actually see something spiritual with your eyes, and there is spiritual vision, in which you see something, a truth so clearly, and this is what I have been meaning by vision in this conference, that you see a truth of God so clearly that it becomes a vision. You see that truth, you see the Church of Christ that God has established by His blood and infused with His life, you see it so clearly that you begin to see the organic whole of that body of Christ and realize how wonderful God has, a wonderful thing God has created. And our battle is to fight with sin inside the church, to overcome it. See the picture of the church glorious in its beauty when we can overcome sin, when we can love each other and receive each other as Christ received us. Remember, Christ did not receive us because we are good and lovely people. We were sinners. And the scripture tells us, receive each other in the same way. Don't wait till he's perfect before you love him, because that day will never come. And if he loved you because you are perfect, when will he ever love you? But love each other just in our weakness. Receive one another as we are in all that weakness, and see, how can I help the other? How can he help you? And so in these days, we have, in those first two talks, looked at the body of Christ. The new society that God has created in the world, let it capture your imagination if it can. Let it capture your imagination that there is this new society, a new society in which each contributes as he can and receives as he needs. You say, wow, that sounds rather like communism. Exactly. Let me tell you something. The communists never invented communism. The church knew about communism 2,000 years before the communists were ever dreamed of. If anything happened, the communists stole something from the church. We steal nothing from them. They stole the whole idea. All of you who read the early books and Acts have seen communism in practice in its most beautiful way, where nobody takes a gun and says, we're going to have communism now. Well, let's have your house. Let's have your field. This is communism. Okay, you can practice in that way. It's not for me to criticize it if that's the way you like to do it. Carry on. I'm always for sharing of goods. Though I think that the church does it much more beautifully. Nobody grabs your land from you or your house from you. We share it out of sheer love and say, here is it, take it. You need it, you have it. Each contributes as he can, and each receives as he needs. Take the picture of the church. This is what we must build in the world today. And the communists, I tell you, let me tell you as somebody who has been in China. I tell you, the communists are afraid of one kind of person in China. They are afraid of the Christians, because the Christians are the truest communists that show them to be the real hypocrites. And I mean the Christians in China. Maybe you don't practice it, but they do. The Chinese Christians don't need anybody to teach them about communism. They give to each other whatever they can, and each receives according to his need. Nobody needs to teach them that. Some of you may have read about the Jesus family in China. Well, you remember that those communist officials who went to see the Jesus family were so astonished, were so amazed, that here was a society far more communist than anything the communists could dream up with. And here they were doing this out of love. Nobody stuck a gun in their back. Nobody threatened them. They did this out of love. So see the new society that God has created in the world today. And let us fight to make this society a reality. I will certainly fight for it in wherever I go, whether it be in Montreal or Liverpool, wherever that may be, to build the new society. That's what I'm here to do. To build the church is to build the new society in which everybody breaks down the barriers between each other and labors to build, to give as much as you can to receive what you need. That's what this new society is all about, both materially and spiritually, not only spiritually, but also materially. That is why I say, let us prove it. Let us test it. I hear that this conference still has some needs, some deficit. Let us give. If you can give $5, give it. Let's put it to the test. Give where the need is, because you know that in giving that, you have helped some brother and sister who came to this conference who couldn't have afforded to come. That's why there was the deficit. The deficit was to meet the needs of those brothers and sisters who could not otherwise afford the cost of this conference. When will you help them? Let me tell you that I intend to give a lot more than a few dollars. I intend to take nothing out of this conference for myself. So now, remember then this, that we are serving the Lord, each giving according to what we are able to give, but receiving each the poorer ones according to their need until they are able to give. Let us apply these principles. Let us see the oneness of the body of Christ. Let us realize that what we give to the other, we have given to Christ. That is the truth that we have been looking at. Let us let God then fire us when we have seen the beauty of what is ahead, the beauty of the potential of the church, those weak and full of sinners, but yet how wonderful it can become, a reality which we seem to have become a reality in Acts, and can be a reality again today. Many people say who have been to our church in Liverpool, they say, we haven't seen a church like this, that people love one another. There is a sense that you, as soon as you come, you feel at home. Why is it that we can't find this wherever we go? The secret is very simple, because we are building the kingdom of God. We are not building just a church. We are building the kingdom of God in the world, a society in which we practice what we preach, that we give what we can, we receive what we need. Oh, let us fight for this. In Montreal, we'll aim for this whenever we leave, and I don't intend to stay too long in Montreal, God willing. Like Abraham, I'll move around in my tent and push on to the next place when the Lord's orders come. But wherever we go, going back to your own church, and there labor to build. And I thank God for that question, how can I make a dead church alive? Well, labor at it, pray for it, talk to the people, encourage them, say, don't you know what the scripture teaches? Let us build God's kingdom until they can catch the vision of it and say, yes, what am I doing? I should be in this too. Until the spiritual ambition is there, say, this must get done. And then you'll see the non-Christians flowing into the churches. Let me tell you a truth. We in Liverpool hardly have a single evangelistic meeting. Does it surprise you? We do have occasionally, very seldom. But people are coming to the Lord all the time. Why? Through the testimony of a living church. There was a hospital, and one of our sisters is here from that hospital in Liverpool, that started out with 20 Chinese nurses, two of whom in that group were Christians. 3 years later, there were only two non-Christians. 18 of these, I understand, 17 or 18 had come to the Lord of that particular group. Did we go out to the hospital outreach? Not at all. They came to the church and say, hey, there's something different here. What is it? They want to find out. And then they find that they are drawn into the life of Christ. The church is to witness as light draws the people in. And so let us catch the vision of the spiritual ambition. Let us know then, as we go on to serve the Lord in this way, how are we going to do it? We can be assured that God is going to give us the special guidance we need as we move on in the general guidance. And so we come on, as we saw, to the spiritual battles that we have to fight. The enemy is strong, but our Lord is stronger. We are realists. To be a Christian is to be a realist. You don't run away from the problems. You look the problem in the face and say, how am I going to deal with this problem? The Christians are not people who are impractical. They are realists. They don't live in the clouds. They live with their feet firmly on the ground. They see the job, they look the enemy in the face, and they go forward into battle, knowing exactly what they intend to do. And in our weakness, relying on the power of the Lord. This is all the time we have for this summary.
But praise be to God that we have had this opportunity for this military academy, even if it be for a number of days. And I pray that you will go out of here with the vision of the job that is ahead, the vision of Christ's glory, the vision, the tremendous potential that is before us. And once again, I say to you, brothers and sisters, when you go out of here, let Eric Chang fade out of your mind, forget about him, and let Jesus get all the glory. Just have that vision of him. That's all that matters. Let everything else fade out. And so Jesus is your all in all. And his body is the all commitment where you will serve him with all the faithfulness at your command. Be true. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.